Our Father in heaven, we come before you this afternoon with thankfulness that we have the opportunity to once again meet as your people. Lord, we are so thankful for the body of believers we can be a part of here in Vernon. We are so thankful that you have blessed your church with a pastor who desires to feed and shepherd your sheep. We pray that he may enjoy a rest from his labors and may return invigorated to preach and teach your flock here. Lord, bless our worship this afternoon. We pray for a blessing on the reading of the sermon. We pray that your Spirit will be at work to edify your people here, young and old. We pray that we will leave here with the desire to share the rich gospel message of salvation in Jesus Christ. We pray all this for the glory of your holy name. Amen. Our scripture reading this afternoon comes from Psalm 116, and this afternoon we will be using the ESV, as the sermon was written for the ESV. I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol lay hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. In response to the word of God, let us sing together Psalm 116, verse 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
Beloved in Christ, when you're in love, you want to talk about it. Maybe you can remember that from when you first met that special someone. You found a way to mention them in almost every conversation. Because your love was so intense, everything was connected back to them. Later on, too, you can tell a lot about the love between husband and wife from the way they speak about each other and how they like to mention one another. Sure, there can be a secrecy to love for a time. You only share it with your closest friend. But if love is real and living, it will be expressed. That's what we hear in Psalm 116. This is a song of exuberant thanksgiving. And the psalmist begins with what his heart is full of and with what's moving through him constantly. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Verse 1. He loves God and he wants to tell that to anyone who listens. It's a song of thanksgiving, we said, because God has delivered him from trouble. It's a personal thank you, but one that is shared in the presence of the congregation. We're allowed to listen in on his words, so some call this psalm a testimony. It's a declaration of his confidence in God, an outburst of his affection for God. I love the Lord. This is what the psalmist says, and this is what every believer ought to be able to say without hesitation. I love the Lord. And the child of God has many reasons to say that and to keep saying that. Because of who the Lord is, because of what God has done, because of what he has yet to do, we love him. That's always true, isn't it? When love can point out the reason, when love has a foundation, that love is strong and lasting. So this afternoon, let's consider why we can love God so much and how we can love him more. I preached to you Psalm 116, verse 1. The child of God declares his love for God. In the first point, what the Lord has done. And in the second point, what his child will do. So in the first point, what the Lord has done. They sometimes say that love is blind, that it overlooks a world of faults, and it can embrace someone regardless of flaws and weaknesses. That's probably true. Yet when we love God, our affection has its eyes wide open. For the psalmist, love is a flame in his soul for this one reason, this one principal reason. God saved him. Now there is lots that we don't know about the psalmist. We don't know who he was. We don't know what trouble he was facing. But we do know that it was severe. This was no minor problem. The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol lay hold of me, verse 3. He was just about to die. It might have been a dangerous sickness, or it might have been a cruel attack from people he once trusted. The psalmist felt like he was being tormented, enslaved, almost killed. He despaired to life itself. But he didn't die, of course, because now he's looking back. He's remembering. And he's doing so from a safe place. A place where every threat has been removed, and where there is no more chains. He's at peace. As he sits in safety, he hears an echo. It's an echo of his cries of distress. In his trouble, he had gone to the Lord in prayer again and again. Just look at all the different references to prayer in the first four verses. He says, God heard my voice and my supplication. He says, I call upon him. And I called on his name. And again, I implore you. In that time of grievous hardship, he was seeking God and reaching out to him as his lifeline. Sometimes praying out loud, sometimes quietly, sometimes with many words, sometimes with that simple cry for help, deliver my soul. Verse 4. And this is what God has done. He has heard my voice and my supplications. Verse 1. Those anguished cries haven't been ignored, but those prayers have been answered. As the psalmist tells us what happens, he paints a beautiful picture of God listening to him. Look at verse 2. He has inclined his ear to me. When you incline your ear, you're tilting your head to one side so that you can hear better. Sometimes people who have hearing loss do this. They turn their head slightly towards the person speaking to try and capture the sound better. But maybe a better image of this is that of a parent listening to a child. The child is short, the parent is tall, and so the dad inclines his ear so that he can hear him. God listened to the prayers of his child, and he was fully attentive. For this is what God does. He listens to our voices. Consider how Psalm 65 addresses the Lord. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Verse 2. When we pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, our prayers don't bounce off the ceiling or fall to the ground. Our prayers don't disappear into the atmosphere or get stored in the cloud. God inclines his ear and he hears our prayers. So this is what the psalmist declares. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Verse 1. Notice that this is the reason he gives for his testimony. The motivation for his praise. God has heard him. Now, when we think about that, we might want to quibble and put in our objections. Shouldn't we love God simply because of who he is, not for what he does for us? Isn't it enough of a reason to adore God because he is holy and majestic and almighty? Our love of God should never be conditioned on what we get from God, like his answers to our prayers or his blessings on our plans. There's a bit of truth to that. The Lord is worthy of honor and praise in himself, as the creator of the heavens and the earth, as the king and judge of all. We do love God for who he is. In his nature, we love that he is almighty, that he is holy, that he is immutable and righteous. We don't just love the mercies of God, we love the God of mercies. But it's impossible to separate them. We can't build a wall between God's everlasting character and then how we experience his character every day. The triune God reveals himself to us by his actions. He always has. He shows himself in real life. We can taste and see that the Lord is good, so we love him. This is what the author of the psalm discovered. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple, verse 5 and 6. And how did he know this about God? Through his salvation, through the recent deliverance. I was brought low, and he saved me, verse 6. Whatever it was distressing him, God took it away. If it was illness, God had healed it. If it was betrayal of a friend, God gave vindication. If it was guilt, God forgave. Whatever it was, the author rejoices to say this: You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Verse 8. The answer to his prayers had come. He'd experienced the goodness and power of the Lord in real life. So now he proclaims his love. And this is where we need to join in. We love our God because he is a great God and because he has done great things. For we're not so different from the author of this psalm. We said we don't know what his trouble was exactly, but it sounds a lot like what we face. And by trouble, I don't just mean sickness or work-related stress or betrayal or lack of money or even persecution. I mean the power and deadliness of sin. This is our deepest trouble, our heaviest burden by far. If this isn't dealt with, we're totally lost. We can have everything in the world, even the happiest and most successful life, but without someone to save us from our sin and the death penalty that it deserves, we have nothing. But if sin is forgiven and we are made right with God, then everything else is put into place. If God gives us Christ, then together with him, he'll give us all things we need. God delivered the psalmist, and God delivers us. The pains of death surround us, and the pangs of hell laid upon us. Because of our sinfulness, all of us are by nature objects of wrath. All people are naturally captive to the power of the devil, where the only thing we want to do, the only thing that we can do, is live in open revolt against God's law. It's a miserable thing to be a sinner, to be hopeless, and without true freedom. But thanks be to God, he has saved us from the pains of death. In the power of Jesus Christ, he has delivered us. He broke the chains and set us free. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Our text tells us just how good the Lord is. We get to hear that God shows his goodness to everyone who confesses his name, that he gladly welcomes all who believe in him, whatever our past. In fact, God has led and directed our life, our whole life, for this purpose, that we should come to know him rightly. God puts people around us who can teach us about him. God makes sure we hear his gospel. God causes things to happen in our life, even very difficult things, so that the end result is us calling on the Lord, seeking him, and asking for his deliverance. And this is what the Lord has done. He has washed us from our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus makes us clean. His Spirit keeps you clean and helps you to love him more. For God has brought us into covenant with himself through Christ. Yes, he opens the way to the Father, and for Jesus' sake, the Father inclines his ear. He leans down, ready to listen. For as our God, he wants to hear our prayers, and he's ready to answer. This psalm shows us the great privilege of the child of God, the privilege of calling on the Lord. Beloved, set your entire life before God in prayer. Your burdens, your joys, your fears, your thanksgiving, your requests. He's the God who hears prayer, who delights to hear prayer and to answer prayers. It's true that God doesn't always answer every prayer according to what we ask. Every one of God's children has learned this, but it's a lesson that needs learning more than once, even throughout our life. His answer can be a long time coming. Yes, God did a great thing, and he delivered the psalmist just like he prayed for. But how many more of his prayers were answered in a different way? How long did it take for that answer to come? Sometimes we want something so badly, and we pray for it so hard, so sincerely, and it's a good thing that we're praying for. Yet God doesn't grant our request. We start to think that he's not inclining his ear towards us, but he's looking the other way. Then it can be hard to persevere in prayer, to keep going to him. I say this not to lessen at all the need for us to pray, but for us to realize that God is God, perfectly wise in all that he does, perfectly good. And sometimes what we wish for and hope for isn't the same as what God has planned. He leads in a different way, a difficult way. He sends a hardship and not a blessing. He seems silent, not responsive. But the Father still bends down to hear us. He still cares for us, because that's what he has promised in his word and at our baptism. And while we wait for his answer, God is pointing us to what matters most, that we know Him and can be satisfied in Him. Like we said before, if our sin is forgiven and we have peace with God, then everything else has its proper place. If God has given us Christ, then He'll also give all things we need in His service. So what will His child do? We come to the second point. So what's the response of the child of God to the Lord's great mercy? What is our response? It can only be to say, I love the Lord. Verse 1. In verse 1, the psalmist wants to tell us about his deep affection for God. And not just in verse 1. Throughout the psalm, you can hear it. The author's heart is full of joy and devotion produced by love. It's a beautiful thing when a person is moved in all things by love for the Lord. When a person just enjoys God and delights to be with Him. Now it's true that this love for God was required. Jesus calls it the first and greatest commandment, and God's people have always been expected to obey it. Love was required in the law, but it was never automatic. It's only produced in a person by the working of God's grace, when a sinner knows that God has been good to him, that he's been saved without any merit of his own. That's how it was for the psalmist, we said. God showed him great mercy by answering his prayer for salvation. So he'll give his reply, I love the Lord. Let's say a bit more about that word love, because we don't always have a very substantial idea of love. It can be a bit feeble, kind of anemic. We throw love around like confetti, for we love lots of things. Fishing, wine, books, sports, toys, cars. We love this and we love that, but next month our love might have moved on to something else. The verb love in our text is much stronger. It carries a flavor of dedication, of commitment and longevity. This is meant to be a love that lasts, an affection that endures. God gets that across to us when He commands us in His Word, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is full-on love, love to the maximum, love without an expiry date. God says, take all that you know, all that you have, all that you are, and love me with every bit of it, always. If you look closely, that's what has the focus in Psalm 116. It begins with that public declaration, I love the Lord. But that's not all the author says, and that's not all that he does. In the rest of the psalm, he puts his love into practice. For us also, it's all too easy to agree that we love God, that we believe in God. It's too easy for us to sit in church and say the words and to sing the songs. Words are so empty and cheap. But what comes next? How does your confession lead to action, your words to deeds? For the psalmist, this was the vital question. We see it in verse 12. The Lord has been good to him, hearing his prayer, saving him from death, restoring his life. So this is what he asks. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? He wants to do something. That's the question that anyone who has been saved by God will ask. How can I repay the Lord? And the answer? You can't. His gift is too precious. His mercy too rich. His salvation so undeserved, you could spend your whole life trying to pay it back to God, but not get anywhere. Because God is God, and you're a sinner. You're out of your depths. Even so, notice what the psalmist does. He gives his entire life to private worship and public devotion. It's already in verse 2. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. That's quite a commitment. I will call upon God as long as I live. But why wouldn't we? When we pray, we are speaking with the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. We know he can do great things that will and he will do great things. So someone who loves God wants to talk with God. If we love God, we want to pour out our whole life before him, because we know that we need his blessing and his guidance and his mercy. The child of God will pray, and then the child of God will also live for God. The psalmist says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 9. That's a rich image for our closeness with the Lord, walking. When we walk with someone, just the two of you, you're attentive to the other. You listen when they speak. You're mindful of where they step. You both stay on the path that's been chosen. So for us in the Lord, he is in heaven, we're on earth, but we can walk with him. It means that we are always attentive to God's voice in the Word. What he does, what does he want you to do? Where does he want you to go? If we love God, we want to walk with God every day and everywhere. Then there's no secret place of your life where God is not welcome, but you want to follow his lead in everything. And then we give back to God because we want to thank him. Notice how that's where the psalmist ends up. He says that salvation has put him into God's service. O Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. Verse 16. Now his whole life will be this, doing the will of the Lord. Beloved, it's not any different for the child of God today. The Lord has saved us through his Son, redeemed us from death, and given us his Holy Spirit. We love God for this, and we want to do something to show God our love. This is how to do it. Be God's eager servant, his happy slave. In all your life, do his will. When we get to the New Testament, this is what the Scripture tells us. This is love for God, to obey his commandments. 1 John 5, verse 3. It's just like in any human relationship. When you really love someone, you don't just want to talk about them, but you want to serve them. You take a pleasure in doing their will. Love means that we'll do what is hard, what might require us to deny ourselves. Love means that their will is our will. So also, if we love God, our Father in Christ, if we say, I love the Lord, then listen to what the Lord says. This is what God wants me to do, so I'll do it. I'll go God's way, not because it's easier, but because I love him and because of the great things that he has done for me. For the psalmist, he was so serious about devoting his life to God that he even made a vow about it. He probably made this vow when he was in trouble, when he was feeling the pains of death. Then the psalmist must have promised that if the Lord saved him, he'd live for God. The Lord had saved him. And so the psalmist says, I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Just as he promised, he'll present his gifts and he'll offer praise. For us too, because we love God, we want to be dedicated to him. We want to give our whole life, him our whole life. We love God because he's given every reason. He has saved us in Jesus Christ. He has transformed us by his Spirit. He has become our God and Father. Yes, this is love, says John. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Brothers and sisters, may this great love of God move you to love him. to love him more, to love him truly, now and always. Amen.